Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Again, Chodesh. Chodesh Tov to all. The Gemara says, Kushem Sheminichnas Av Mima'atim Besimcha Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. It should be a month full of Simcha and Geula V'Nahafuchu Ora Simcha V'Sasum V'Kar for all of Kal Yisrael B'chol Makom Shehem. We are learning the Zechron, the Yilui Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, and the Neshama Merit of Zuchus Aliyah and Zechira Latova, and the merit of the Devei Torah that we will share. We continue to thank the Fron family very much for their commitment and dedication to the Shir, Lezechron Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Allah HaShalom, Tizkul Mitzos, Velamaisim Tovim. So we are finally leaving the topic, I don't know, permanently for now. We're going up to the next section in the Sefer, and that is the section of Tefillah, prayer. And I thought it was also very apropos, given that it is Adar, and Mordechai Davin, and Esther Davin, on this week's Parshas Truma, and the Mishkan, Ki Besi Beis Tefillah, Yekara L'chol Ha'amim, so Hashem arranges it exactly where we're supposed to be. When we finish one topic, another topic begins. So tonight's shiur is going to be based very much on a piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, connecting the Parsha, which is Parshas Truma, to the Makom HaMishkan / Mikdash, which we don't have anymore, and today we have the Beis Knesses. So I'm just going to begin in the Sefer, a number of paragraphs that begin the next section, which is where we're holding, and then we will start to talk about Rabbi Sacks learns out about Beis Knesses, the Makom Tefillah today. My son actually called me this afternoon from Yeshiva. He calls a few afternoons a week to say hello and check in. I'm Bein Sadarim. So he called. So he told me he davened Hallel for the Amma this morning in Yeshiva. No, he said they asked different boys. It's in Yeshiva. So they asked different boys to daven on different Rosh Chodesh. They asked the different boys. I said, so nice. I said, it was probably better than my Hallel by myself in my living room. So the Beis Knesses is really a Makom Tefillah. Barov Am Hadras Melech. Okay, women do not have an obligation to go to daven with a minyan. But that is really where the essence of Tefillah is. That's where the Aron Kodesh is, the Sifrei Torah, the Rav, the Kehila, the Minyan. So Rabbi Sacks learns out about Beis Knesses being a Makom Tefillah from Parshas Truma. I'm going to begin in the Sefer. So the previous section that we were speaking about was contemplation when eating. This is, quote, contemplation when going to Tefillah. Okay. We will provide some more examples, meaning more than food, we're now going to provide some other examples. I'm not making fun, I'm being serious. I know we spent quite some time in it, but every shiur was different. And we spoke about different things, mamish, different Torah sources in every single shiur, which shows you the depth of Torah. You might sit and think, do I want to go daven in the morning or not? The answer is not so simple. A person might say, my laziness makes me desire to stay in bed. By the way, this isn't only the Mechaber. If you look up the first Mishnah Berurah, the first siman in the Mishnah Berurah, this is what he says. Al yavtichecha yitzircha. No, that's Shoshol Beis Manosach. It's Perkei Avos. The very first Mishnah Berurah tells us that your Yetzer Hara should not convince you. The winter is so cold, I want to stay in bed a little more. The summer so hot, adayin lo savata mishnasech. I didn't get enough sleep. So this is not the Mechaber saying this. Okay, so the Chavetz Chaim already acknowledged that your Yetzer Hara is going to tell you to stay in bed. Okay, if you want to begin learning the halacha of life of what it means to be a Jew, Shechon Aruch HaRachayim, and you open up the beginning, Yiskaber Ka'ari, La'amod, Bavodas HaBorah, and the Mishnah Berurah tells you that you're going to want to stay in bed. In the winter, you're going to say, it's so cold, how could I get up? And now, today we have Baruch Hashem heat, but what was it like in Radin, in Europe, in the 1800s, when I don't imagine that they had central heat in a boiler system. By the time the fireplace burned out and the embers died out in the morning, it probably was, besides for dark, it is cold. So your HR is going to say, you know, you should stay in bed a little more. And in the summer, your HR is going to say, it's so comfortable here. I'm sure you could use, you could use some more rest. What's the rush? Why are you getting up? So the Yetzer Hara, the Mishnah Berurah says, you cannot listen to him. Why? Because if you had a meeting with a king, a Basar Vadam, of course you would get out of bed. Says the Chavetz Chaim, Kal v'chomer, ben benosho, Kal v'chomer. How much more so? La'avod, Melech Malchim, Melechim Kosh Baruch, you have an appointment with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we should be skeptical about what the Mechaber, the author, is telling us, because we already know that this is the Yetzer Hara. So you might sit and think, or you should might lay in bed and think, do I want to go daven in the morning or not? The answer is not so simple. My laziness makes me desire to stay in bed. It's pleasant here. It's comfortable here. But my inner ratzon is to daven to Hashem. So just like with food, remember there was the outer ratzon, what your exterior desires, your guf. and what your inner self desires, your neshama, so too with tefillah. The outer ratzon, the outer desire, you stay in bed, sleep until 12 o'clock, it's warm, it's comfortable, I'm tired. The inner ratzon is to daven to Hashem. The neshama, however, wants you to get up and wants to connect, to commune with God. On a simple level, why do you want to get up? You might say to yourself, on a simple level, I'm afraid of punishment. So there's two different kinds of Yiras Shemayim. There's Yiras Chait and Yiras HaRomimbus. Yiras Chait is, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara because I don't want to go to Gehenna. And when I go up there, they're going to show me these words. I'm going to play back. And I don't want to go into that place in the Olam HaEmes. By the way, I'm not criticizing that. If a person holds back, especially on a lower level, if a person doesn't talk Lashon Hara because of Yiras Chait, so Lamaisa, you didn't talk Lashon Hara. You didn't say what you're not supposed to say. So it's not for anybody to criticize such a level. The Gedolei Adar have a different kind of Yiras HaRomimbus, which is they want to please their Ribono Shel Olam. When you love someone so much, you have such reverence for that person, you're not even thinking about getting in trouble. You think, what can I do to please you? But the bottom line is you don't speak Lashon Hara. So in this case, you might think, my inner ratzon wants to daven to Hashem because I'm afraid of punishment. Because there is a mitzvah derabanan to daven in the morning, and I don't want to get punished if I don't daven. This is a deeper ratzon than the first. The desire to stay in bed serves momentary gratification, just like with eating. Just like with eating. When you eat, I don't know, I was just somewhere and people were saying, how many donuts can you eat on Hanukkah? Like, it was just this week. I'm not talking about it. It wasn't by Hanukkah. I don't even know why they were talking about it. But the question was, how many donuts could you eat on Hanukkah? So the outer ratzon serves momentary gratification. Right? The custard and the chocolate icing tastes good on your mouth from the sufganiyah. But the fear of punishment, in this case you could say the fear of the scale, is deeper and far-reaching. So the same inner and outer ratzon that applies to food also applies to tefillah. What do I want? It's comfortable to stay in bed. It feels nice to stay in bed. It's luxurious and relaxing. But my inner desire is to get up and commune with God. But that's not my deepest ratzon. There's another reason for tefillah. I want to take care of my worldly needs. So one is you don't want to be punished because the sages say that service of the heart is prayer. There's a mechokas. You have to daven every day d'oraisa or only in times of tzara d'oraisa. Balamaisa, there's a mitzvah to daven every day. So one is yiras hachi. I'm afraid of sin. Why? Because yiras ha'onash. What I'm really afraid of is if I sin, I'm afraid of the punishment. That's one reason why you might want to get up and be motivated rather than stay in bed. Another reason for davening, I want to take care of my worldly needs. Someone once came to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and it's in the Rav Moshe biography, Zatzal, and asked for a bracha for Parnasa, a bracha for Parnasa. Rav Moshe said, for Parnasa, there's no bracha. For Parnasa, you have to daven every day. And Rav Gifter, Zatzal, used to say, people think we make Parnasa. We don't make it, we take it. Hashem makes it, we take it. Relates to this week's parasha. It's a very famous kasha in the beginning of the parasha. Why does it say, speak to the children of Israel and take my portion? It should say, speak to the children of Israel and they shall give a portion. Of course, very, very famous kasha on the beginning of the parasha. Three times in the first three psukim, Vezuk Beis and Gimel, it says, take. This is my portion. This is my portion you should take for them. It should say, this is a portion they shall give. They're donating to the Mishkan. Gold, silver, copper, turquoise, well, purple, well, scarlet, well, linen, goat's hair. What's take? They're not taking, especially because it says yidvedu libo. Their heart motivates him to give. So their heart motivates him to give. So what's the taking? Mordechai Gifter used to say, Zatzal, people think we make parnasa. We don't make it. The Ribono Shel Olam makes it, and we take it. So really, we have to understand that all the physical possessions we have, the Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshes, where did they have gold, silver, and copper to donate? Yes, you could say the Egyptians' reparations. No, where did they have it from? They had it because the Ribono Shel Olam graced them with these gifts. Every physical thing we have is from the Ribono Shel Olam. So I am taking and then donating. I'm not giving. I'm taking what God gives me. When a person gives tzedakah, why do I have the ability to give tzedakah? Why do I have ma'aser? Because God, I'm taking from the Ribono Shel Olam in order to give. Rav Gifter said, you don't make it, you take it. God makes it and you take it. So, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yichu li truma, meis kol sher yivenu libo, tichu es trumasi, perachav hei, pasuk beis, the beginning of this week's Sadra, speak to the children of Israel and take for me a portion. That's exactly right. You have to take from what the Ribono Shel Olam gives you and then pay it forward. The Duchas said to give tzedakah. So, another reason for tefillah is, I want to, quote, take care of my worldly needs. What's my worldly needs? There's no bracha for parnas. You have to daven every day. So I might wake up in the morning. Remember what Moshe Feinstein says, for parnas you have to daven every day. So since I want parnas, I eat worldly needs. Parnas represents lechem, mazon, kalkala, malbisha rumim, walls and a roof over my head. So therefore, I have to daven. Tefillah is a means for taking care of my worldly needs. That's not the highest reason for davening either. The highest reason for davening is not yiras hacheder or yiras haonesh. And the highest reason for davening is not because I want to take care of my worldly needs and this is the way of doing it. In this way, I'll use this spiritual tool, tefillah, to obtain a physical need. Okay? In this matter, you go through the various stages of superficial desires. These are not the deep reasons, of course, that we want to daven. The deep reasons that we should want to daven, we have to work on it, is to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very interesting. I was speaking to someone, and she told me that at one point she went to a certain gadol. I'm not saying anything with any identifying information at all, not who the gadol is, not who the person is, not where she lives. She went to a certain gadol, and she says, what could she do for a shirach? So the gadol told her, you should daven mincha. At that point, she wasn't davening mincha. You should take mincha upon yourself. So she took mincha upon herself. A year later, she went back and she said, the shidduch didn't come. But she said she noticed something. She felt herself to be a totally changed person and much more connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam through her tefillos. Because she was taking time in the middle of the day to be davening, to stop whatever she was doing, to talk to God. And she said, so ultimately it changed me and my connection and my kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's really the deepest reason for davening. Not because we are afraid of what will happen if I don't. And not because I need to take care of whatever worldly needs I need to take care of. But because the point of tefillah is to have a kesher with Hashem. And then you have to reach the inner point where I want to daven because that's the will of Hashem. Because of the pasuk says, "Ulavdu b'chol v'avchem," and the Gemara darshins that avodah shebelev, service of the heart is prayer. Well, that means the Ribbono Shel Olam included in the Torah. One of the mitzvahs is I have to daven, and that's why I have to daven. I have to eat because Ratzon Hashem is that I should be healthy. Mikol etzagan ochel tochel. You know, I was speaking this past Shabbos. I was in Boca, so I gave quite a number of shiurim over Friday and Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, Motzi Shabbos. So Friday night I was speaking about a woman's shir, about the amuna of the woman, Mitzrayim, Geula, related to Mordechai, Esther, okay. But Lamaisa, I don't know how it came up, maybe because we're talking about food for 2 months here. But I said, what was the first mitzvah in the Torah? I don't remember why it came up. Oh, I do know. I was quoting a medrash about Matan Torah, and the woman got the Torah first. Okay, so I said, what was the first mitzvah in the Torah? And one of the women said, to eat, to enjoy the fruits of the garden. So I said, are you following our Shari Shir? No, I really did say that to her. So she said, no, but I just read it this morning in a Sefer. I said, you were reading the Masha Chachma? She said, no, I was reading a different Sefer that quoted that. I said, oh my gosh, because generally people will either say Pru or Vu, and I explained why that's not the first mitzvah, or they'll say, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas, which is really the low tase, the lav, do not do. I was very, very excited. The next day to inshallah, the next day she brought me the sefer to show me which sefer she read it from. Okay, so really what you have to do is identify the will of Hashem. So we eat because that's the will of Hashem. We have to move past the superficial. I like how the custard and the icing taste on my tongue. I like what it does for me momentarily to understand that I'm eating because it's Ratzon Hashem. The car can't run without gas, so my body can't run without fuel. It's just simple math because that's what God wants. He put me here to enjoy the fruit of the garden, to be healthy, to serve Him. So to tefillah. You should say to yourself, I'm not afraid of the onesh if I don't daven. And I'm not doing this because it's a mathematical calculation. God, if I daven, you will send rain in its time. Rain equals parnasa. No, I'm davening because my neshama has a true inner force. My soul has an inner force. Our will, ritzoneinu laso ritzoncha. Remember, it's another example. The food was one example. Tefillah is another example. If Hashem says, serve Him with all your heart, and the sages say, all your heart is service of the heart is prayer, then I have a daily obligation to pray. And that's why I want to daven. And that's what we should want to get at a bit. That's what the Mishnah Berurah tells you explicitly. How could you lay there extra in the winter, extra in the summer? You should jump out of the bed because you have an appointment with the King of all Kings. Since you want me to daven Hashem, there must be such a ratzon in my neshama. There must be an inner will that is forcing me, not in a negative way forcing me, compelling, that's a better word. There's an inner ratzon in my neshama that's compelling me to daven to you because that's your ratzon. And my neshama is part of Hashem. The pasuk says it in Iyov Lamed Aleph Chelak Elokai. I think it's Lamed Aleph Beis. So the Hashem wants us to daven, and my neshama is part of Hashem, so that is an inner force, even if I can't identify it right away, that's what I want. But I only know this in my mind. It's not yet apparent in my heart. So you might feel it in your mind. No, you might know, not feel. Rationally in your mind, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. The sages say it means feel. Therefore, Hashem wants me to daven. But you might not feel it in your very self, in your heart yet. So what should you do when you wake up and plan to daven? Don't just go without thinking. Just like with food. Today when I came home, I was out for many hours. And I came home around like 3 o'clock. And I cut up a bowl of pineapple and a golden kiwi. I had some pineapple and a golden kiwi. And I mamish thought, I was contemplating. No, I promise. I forget. I mean, I make brachos, baruch Hashem, but I generally forget to contemplate before I eat. Look at the food, think about the food, the taste, the flavor, everything Hashem put into it. Keep us healthy. What antioxidants does it have? What vitamins does it have? What protein does it have? Generally, I'm not there yet where I'm thinking about the plate of food in terms of mindfulness before I eat everything. But I really did do it today. I think Hashari was tonight, so I was looking at the pineapple and the kiwi, and I thought for a minute, look at this, think about this. Hashem put in natural sugars. Hashem put in whatever vitamins we need. Look how beautiful this is. Each fruit grows by itself. It's the same thing. Just like with eating, it should be with mindfulness. You should not go without thinking when you daven either. And the Gemara says the chassidim of all. When the Gemara uses the word chassidim, it means the pious. Would spend an hour preparing for tefillah, before the tefillah. So that means, what were they preparing? Mindfulness. I mean, they didn't have that word then. But be present in the moment. Think of what you're doing, what you're approaching, the Ribbono Shel Olam that you're standing before. When you wake up and plan to daven, you should not go without thinking. But turn to Hashem. Oh, there's someone here from Boca. Welcome. That's so nice. I met her Motzei Shabbos. And I see her name here. That's so nice. Welcome. Wow. And she asked me for my information. She asked to be added to the group. And I see you're here. Brucha haba'a. Okay. When you wake up and plan to daven, you should not just go without thinking. You should turn to Hashem. Right? And you should say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, I'm going to daven before you because I want to daven. But now I'm going to try and identify why do I want to daven. Right? Enumerate the reasons before Hashem. I want to daven because I'm afraid if I don't, when I get to Shemayim after 120, I'm going to go to Gehenna. That's scary. Sometimes I think that about a certain act. That's like really scary. Or I need parnasa. I need to be able to buy food. I need the washing machine to work. Not a joke. I often give modin for the washer dryer. No, I'm really not joking. I really do. I need the car to run. This is all physicality. I need the fridges and freezers to be okay. So since I want you to take care of all my physical needs, I'm going to daven. And then you could think to yourself, wait, I also am going to daven because my neshama wants to daven. But I don't feel it in my neshama. I only know this in my head. And then until you get to the point when you reach the true inner reason. And the true inner reason is, this is Hashem's will. Remember, he quoted it by food. Ritzoneinu laso ritzancha. It's from Maseches Brachos. 1 second. Brachos Yud Zayin. Okay? Until finally you come to, there could be other reasons you're davening. I want to set an example for my children, which is beautiful. It's chinuch if you have young children in the house who see. But the real, real reason for tefillah is because that's what Hashem wants, and I want to connect with Hashem. My neshama wants to connect with its source. Enumerate the reasons before Hashem until eventually you reach the true inner reason. This is Hashem's will. And then say to Hashem, I am certain that I really want to please you. And I believe I have such a ratzon deep down, even if you don't feel it yet. Okay? By the way, that was a page and a half. I get an award. When's the last time I did a page and a half in 20 minutes? No one's impressed? Okay. You're not impressed?
No, I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
It's double speed, but live.
Say it again.
It's double speed, but live.
Very cute. In real time. In real time. Okay, very good. So now, I want to go to Rabbi Lord. Yeah, that was very impressive, actually. And I did commentary. I wasn't just reading it to you. Okay, I'm proud. Nancy's giving me celebration smiley faces. Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so I want to quote from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, and connect this topic of tefillah, which plays a crucial role in our lives, all the time, every day. I mean, I find like, I'm davening a lot. Besides with Shachus Mincha and Arvis every day, and my daily quota of Tehillim, when I walk from the car to Shir, I say a kapitel of Tehillim. If something good happens during the day, I say a kapitel of Tehillim. If I feel free during the day, I feel I say a kapitel of Tehillim. So tefillah is something that we're really always doing, hopefully, in terms of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? So this week's parasha is Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma begins the topic of Mishkan. Truma Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa, Vayakal Pekudei, second half of the book of Shemos, is the topic of Mishkan. The Mishkan is the very beautiful, portable sanctuary. Excuse me. The very beautiful portable sanctuary that the Jews built in the desert, that ultimately was transferred to Shiloh. They thought they were going to be in the desert for a year or whatever, right? They got the Torah. They spent a year at Har Sinai, and then they thought they're journeying to Eretz Yisrael. Shloshim yom anachnu nosim el haaretz. Nosim anachnu, not anachnu nosim. Nosim anachnu el makom asher amar Hashem oso etein lechem lecha itanu veheitavnu lach. Mi amar lemi. I used to say it to my kids. Tamara's like, mommy. Yisrael, Moshe to Yisrael, Parak Yod of Bamidbar. Please come with us. In 3 days, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Soloveitchik, when I read these words, something it moves me. I want to cry. The simplicity with which Moshe said, Od shloshim yom nichnasim la'aretz. Okay. So they built a sanctuary, which was the Mishkan in the desert. And the Avoda Karbanos, there was the golden altar in the inside, Mizbech HaZahav, Mizbech HaPnimi, Mizbech HaKtores, for the Ketores sacrifice spice, the incense, 11 spice mixture that was offered morning and evening. But there was another Mizbeach, and that was the Mizbech HaNechoshes, Mizbech Adama, Mizbech Chitzoni, Mizbech HaOla, which was used, the copper altar, which was used for animal sacrifices. The daily service opened with the Korban Tamid and closed with the Korban Tamid, and then whatever was brought in between the Nedava, the Musaf offerings on Shabbos or Yom Tov, Achatas, whatever a person brought. Those sacrifices were brought between the Korban Tamid, where the bookends of the day, no service could be done before the opening Korban Tamid and after the closing Korban Tamid. And that was the Avodah. The Avodah of Korbanos. Today we don't have the Avodah Korbanos anymore. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, to Pirkei Avos, Perek Av, Mishnah Beis, Shosh Advarim Olam Amir, Al Torah V'Avodah V'Gulas Chasadim. So Rabbeinu Yonah has such a beautiful piece where Beferish, he speaks about how the Avodah used to be Korbanos. Today, since we don't have Korbanos, Tefillah takes the place of Korbanos. We daven for the day, Ushalai Mircha Barachim Tashu, but in the meantime, we have Tefillah. So this is an idea that began founded, Avodah service, founded in the Mishkan. So I go to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. I'm quoting from Covenant and Conversation, Exodus. The Parsha of Truma, which is this week's Sadra, okay? What else was in there? You have the laver, the copper kiar, you have the copper altar, which I just spoke about. Those are in the courtyard. When you move into the Mishkan proper, in the space called the Kodesh, you have the golden menorah, which was lit every night, the golden table, which housed the lechem haponim, the 12 showbreads, breads of surfaces, the mizbech hazahav, ketores, golden altar for incense spices, and then you move past the parochus, the partition, into the space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, and there is the Aron Kodesh and God's presence. Okay, so we are talking about the Mishkan in general, not about a specific vessel or implement, but the Mishkan and the purpose of the Mishkan, and what it teaches us about surviving Golos. The Parsha of Truma describes the construction of the tabernacle, says Rabbi Sacks. The first collective house of worship, the first collective house of worship in the history of Israel. Today, when we have a base Knesset, that's why I said to my son, Shua, I bet your challah was a lot nicer, more moving, whatever the word I use, beautiful, than mommy's challah alone in the living room. Can't compare, Berav Am Hadros Melech, to standing at home by yourself. It was the first collective house of worship in the history of Israel. The first, but not the last. The Mishkan was eventually succeeded by the temple in Jerusalem. The Mishkan was the precursor to the first and then the second Beis Hamikdash. I want to focus on one moment in Jewish history, which represents Jewish spirituality at its lowest ebb, the moment the temple was destroyed. He wants to focus on one moment in Jewish history, and that's the moment of Churban Beis Hamikdash. First was 586 before the Common Era, going back a long time ago. And the second was 70 Common Era. That wasn't so long ago, by the way. It's not even 2,000 years. It's a relatively, in the history of the world, it is hard for us, says Rabbi Sacks, it is hard for us to understand the depth of the crisis into which the destruction of the First Temple plunged the Jewish people. We're so far removed from it. We're so, Rachmana Litzlan, used to being a people of exile throughout the millennia. I'm not only talking about us, I'm talking about my grandparents and their parents and their parents and the Spanish Inquisition, and Xeris Tach Vatat, that was out of chronological order, and then the Crusades. We're so used to being a people of exile that it is difficult for us to understand the depth of the crisis into which Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the First Temple by Babylonians, plunged the Jewish people. Their very existence was predicated on their relationship with God, which was symbolized by the worship that took place daily in Jerusalem. The whole center of Jewish life under the Jewish Commonwealth was the Beis HaMikdash. This is where you went to serve Hashem. With the Babylonian conquest, Jews lost not only their land, but Jewish sovereignty. In losing the temple, it was as if they lost hope itself. And he's going to quote for a second, in 1 second he's going to quote a Kapitel Kuf Lamed Zayin of Tehillim. They say their despair. Al naros bavel sham yashav nugam bachin bezachreinu etzion. Eich nashir ashir Hashem al admas nechar. Complete despair. Imesh kachech Yerushalayim tishkach yamini tidbak lashoni dechikim lo ez karechi. And losing their temples, it was they lost hope itself, because hope lay in God. How could they turn to God if the very place where they served Him with service now lay in ruins? We have record, vivid record, of the mood of the Jews at that time. And now he quotes from Tehillim 137, one of the most famous of all the Psalms. Kapitach, Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim. But then in Babylon, from the midst of their confusion, their pain, their crisis, an answer began to take shape. While the temple no longer stood, the memory remained. And the memory of the temple was enough to bring the Jews together in collective worship. Remember, he said that the temple was the first collective house of worship in the history of Israel. When it was destroyed, what should they do? Where should we go to collectively worship? In exile, in Babylon, Jews began to gather, to expound Torah, articulate a collective hope of return, and recall the temple and its service. It's extremely interesting. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, last Adar Bet, it was March 2022 on the English calendar, it was Adar Bet. I was there for 6 days. I did a number of teaching for a different shiurim, and spend time with my daughter in seminary, visit close friends who are like family, daven at the Kotel. One day we went to Caesarea with our tour guide. I hadn't been there since I was like a kid and I really wanted to go back. I took a tour guide to Caesarea, which was fascinating. And another day I did a half a day tour with the same tour guide of the Israel Museum, the Antiquity Wing. I had wanted to do a walking tour of the old city with him. He's excellent. I've used him in the past. I've recommended him to many people. I wanted to do a walking tour of the old city, but the weather was not conducive. There was a hailstorm while we were there that I was caught in with my daughter. And the weather was very high winds, rainy, and it was not conducive. So he suggested to do the Israel, antiquity wing, artifacts. What's the word I'm looking for? Excavation wing? Okay.
What is antiquity?
It's the what?
It's antiquity.
So he suggested it. So I thought, can I just read the signs? Why do I need to pay a tour guide to take him through the museum? But it was fascinating. It was excellent. It was amazing. Anyway, one of the things he spoke about, which was made a huge impression on me, was how the Beis Knesset evolved, a house of prayer evolved. What does this, now this is one thing that he told me that really, it's so obvious, but it's really a big chiddush. What does Beis Knesset mean?
A house of entrance.
A house of
entrance.
Like the Knesset. But what else does Knesset mean?
Assembly.
Why? I
don't
know.
Assembly.
Oh, I was going to use the word gathering. Okay, fine. Gather. Kol kinesia shehi l'shem shemaim sofa lahiskayim v'she'en l'shem shemaim ein sofa lahiskayim. A kinesia is a gathering or an assembly. Beis Knesset means a place to gather or assemble. Because when the Jews were in exile, They had no more central place of gathering. This really ties into Rabbi Sacks' piece. There was no more central place. What did they do on the Shalosh Regalim? The whole country emptied out and went to gather in Yerushalayim. Shalosh Pamim B'Shana. We just had the Shalosh Regalim in Parzik Mishpatim. Shalosh Pamim Shalosh Regalim B'Shana Techogli. Techogli Shalosh Regalim B'Shana. You should celebrate three festivals. Where do you have to go? Up to the base of Mikdash. The whole country gathers together. The whole country assembles together. What happens by Hakel, Sukkot after the Shemitah year? Everyone, men, women, children, gather together. What happens when they brought their Bikurim? The Mishnah Bikurim is so beautiful. All the farmers of a certain Mamad, all the farmers of a certain district would gather together with their baskets of fruit and ascend together up to the basic Mikdash to bring their Bikurim. What all of a sudden happened, the people were shattered, they were broken, there was no more central locale where we all gather in collective worship to assemble before Hashem. And the Torah got pointed out, Ezra Rosenfeld, I've used the mother, it's amazing. Beis Knesset means a house of gathering or a house of assembly. It doesn't mean a house of prayer. That's not what we call it. Till today we call it the Beis Knesset. It began because the Jews in exile realized we need somewhere to gather together, to teach Torah, to learn, for people to sleep on the benches, to give out food. It became like a community center, literally. And once we have the community center, let's also use it communally to daven, to pray to Hashem if we don't have karbanos anymore. It's revolutionary. And that's what it should be today also. That's hopefully what it is. I'm by Sachs in this piece, which, oh no, I'm okay for time. We're on double speed tonight in real time. And that's why it's so integral to our survival throughout the ages. It is the Mikdash Ma'at. He quotes from the prophet Yechezkel. Yechezkel was unique amongst prophets because he prophesied by the rivers of Babylon, not in Eretz Yisrael. He saw Ma'aseh Merkava from Galus, Chutz La'aretz. And in Yechezkel, Perek Yud Aleph, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations, and I scatter them among the countries, yet I have become to them a Mikdash Ma'at. This is from Yechezkel, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk, Tazayin. I have become to them a Mikdash Ma'at in the countries where they have gone. The central sanctuary had been destroyed, but a small, a miniature, an echo of the central sanctuary was now established. And that became the Mikdash Ma'at / Beis Knesset. Quote, the synagogue is one of the most remarkable examples of an awakening from below, an Aramaic term of Chazal, Itaruta Dilatata, an awakening from below. The synagogue came into being not through words spoken by God to Israel, but by words spoken by Israel to God. The synagogue was established not by God's word to Israel, but by Israel's words to God. The Mishkan was established because Hashem said to Moshe, right? Dibar Hashem on Moshe Leimar, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yichuli truma, me'ez kol ish ashayit v'en alivo, tichu esh k'masi, fast forward to verse 8, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Hashem said, build this collective place of avoda. Contrast that to the Beis Knesset. Says Rabbi Sacks, the reason I'm using the word synagogue is because that's how he writes it here, okay? There is no synagogue in Tanakh. There is no command to build local houses of prayer. On the contrary, you were not allowed, once the Beis Hamikdash was established, you could not worship by yourself. You were not allowed to build Mizbechot outside of the Beis Hamikdash. You had to go to a central place of worship because it kept everyone assembled. It kept them a collective together. The central sanctuary was a collective focus for worship of the people as a whole. However, in exile, the synagogue became Jerusalem in exile. It became the home of the Jewish heart. The Beis Knesset became the home of the Jewish heart. It is the ultimate expression of monotheism. That what do we declare when we establish a Beis Knesset? What do we declare when we come to a central location to daven, even while we are in exile? This isn't to mean, by the way, that we don't daven for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. It doesn't mean that we're happy to be in Golis. But while we are here, what is the secret to survival? So many things. One of them is Shabbos. Another of them, obviously, is Torah. Another one is Taras HaMishpacha. Another one is synagogue. My brother once told me, Esti Klein, I shared this with you recently. Because I just said, what's responsible for our survival? Shabbos. Torah, Taras HaMishpacha. Jewish chinuch, base knesses. They're all. So which is the most important? So my brother a little while ago, many years ago, told me a mashal. I forget which Rav or Rabbi said it over. It wasn't his. He had heard it in a shir. Which is the most important yantif? What would we have without Rosh Hashanah? It's the Yahayam Harash Olam, Hayan Yamid B'mishba Koyitzir Elamim. What would we have without Yom Kippur? The day of cleansing. We would all be washed away the day after our Bar Bas Mitzvah. What would we be without Chanukah? The triumph of light and Torah over darkness and impurity, Tumah and Shmutz. Where would we be without Pesach, Zman Chirusenu, Ve'yotzienu Sham Misham Biad Chazaku V'zro Netuya? I skipped Purim by accident. Where would we be without Purim? Which proves that even when we're in Galus, and Hashem is Hester Panim hidden, he's still there. So which is the most important Yantif? So the Rav gave an answer with a mashal. What's the most important organ of the body? Everyone would agree the brain. It's the whole control center. What about the heart? The heart's definitely, the cardiologist will tell you, you have to keep it healthy. Chas v'shalom, it's not working. Probably it's the most important organ in the body. Wait a minute. What about your vascular system? What about your excretory system? What about your lungs? Respiratory system? What's the most important organ in the body? What's the most important Yom Tov? What's the most important ingredient necessary for survival? What's the answer? They're all the most important. There's no A, B, C, D, E. They're all A. Which is the most important Yom Tov? Every Yom Tov. Which is the most important organ in your body? Is it the brain, the heart, the lungs? Could you choose? If one isn't working properly, Chas v'Shalom, so it's a bad, very safe idui. Which is most important? They're all the most important. What's most important for our survival? Is it Shabbos? Is it the Mikdash Ma'at, the base Knesset? Is it Torah? What's the answer? They're all the most important. The ultimate expression of monotheism is expressed in the base Knesset, says Rabbi Sacks. It teaches us, wherever we gather, once again, this ties in so much to what my tour guide Ezra Rosenfeld explained to me. When we were standing by they found an ancient brick from an ancient base Knesset. And it said what the people gathered here to do. And he explained to me something so profound. Once they were dispersed base Knesset, it became a house for the collective to assemble. Wherever we gather to turn our hearts towards heaven, there the divine presence can be found. The base Knesset teaches us that God is everywhere. So yes, my son led halal in the yeshiva, and I said halal in the living room. So Barav Am Hadras Melech. But where is Hashem? Wherever you let him in, that's where the Ribono Shalom is. Where did this idea come from? This world-changing idea that when you turn your heart to heaven, the divine presence can be found and God is everywhere. It did not come from the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. It came from this week's parsha, a much earlier institution, the Mishkan. He writes a tabernacle. The Mishkan. The essence was that the Mishkan was portable. It was made of beams and hangings. It was dismantled and carried by the Levim as the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness. It went from station to station and place to place. That's what the Beis Knesset does with us. It journeys from station to station, from Germany to Paris, to England, to Spain, to New Amsterdam when they had to leave Spain. Did you ever go to the Touro Synagogue in Rhode Island? It's amazing. Why did they come there? They were the exiles from the Spanish Inquisition. There's a Sefer Torah there that's 500 years old. It's open. It's open to us Yashir. It was gifted to the community by the Jews in Amsterdam after they came to the New World after the Spanish Inquisition. Like the Mishkan, the base Knesset comes with us. It can be dismantled and reestablished as we journey through the wilderness. The tabernacle was a temporary structure, but it had a permanent... Listen to this. Listen carefully. The tabernacle, which was a temporary structure, the Mishkan was temporary, turned out to have a permanent influence. Whereas the Beis HaMikdash, intended to be permanent, proved to be temporary. The fact that the Mishkan is portable and yet serves as a central place of gathering, a collective place of service, teaches us that wherever we journey and wherever we go, the Malkum Tefillah is not lost. It can be reestablished. It is reestablished. And where is God? Wherever you let him in. There's a Gemara that says, unfortunately I don't know the source, but there's a beautiful Gemara that says, I've looked it up in the past, that when Mashiach comes, every Beis Knesset will be picked up and transported to Eretz Yisrael. Because this is a Mikdash Ma'at while we're here. So it has that Kedusha. I know we're not in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. Some of you were just there and I've just come back. I hope you brought some of the Kedusha for us here. because we can access a degree of that avoda through the establishment of a Beis Knesset. More significant than the physical structure of the tabernacle was the metaphysical. The Rav uses the word metaphysical a lot. Beyond physical, non-physical structure. The very idea that one can build a home for God is absurd. Shlomo HaMelech expresses it in Parachas of Malachim when he builds a Beis Hamikdash. Hinei Shemaim Ushmei Shemaim Lo Yichal Kulucha. How is it that the heavens and the greatest steps of heavens cannot contain you? How is it possible that I could build a house to contain you? How could I build a home for infinity? Infinity means Ein Sof, never end, something we can't even imagine. You don't even know what that means. I also don't know what it means. He quotes from Malachim Aleph Shlomo. The very concept of making a home in finite space, the concept of making a home for in a finite space for infinity seems a contradiction in terms. How could infinity go into a space that is finite? I'm finite, so I could go into a finite space. The answer is astonishing, is as astonishing as it is profound. It's contained in the beginning of this week's Sedra. Parachafei Pasuk Ches. Vasuli Mikdash Vashachanti Besocham. It's very famous. It's very famous. Everyone says, Zuk the Welt, the whole Welt says, Vasuli Mikdash Vashachanti Besocham. Doesn't say, Vasuli Mikdash, make for me a holy space, Vashachanti Besocho, I will dwell in it. Rather, Vashachanti Besocham. If you build a holy space for me, says God, I will dwell amongst you. The Jewish mystics pointed out the strangest of the sentence. It should have said, I will dwell in it, as in, I will dwell in the structure. But it says, I will dwell in them. The answer is that the divine presence dwells not in buildings, but in the builders. The divine presence dwells not in the building, but in those who build. The divine presence dwells not in a physical place, but in the human heart. To bring our Shir Mamash full circle, we're talking about tefillah. And I quoted to you already. The Gemara says it's tiny, it's 2a. Ezi avoda shabalev. Haveyom erzohi tefillah. Prayer service of the heart. God dwells not in a physical place, but in the human heart. The sanctuary was not a place in which the objective existence of God was more concentrated than elsewhere. Rather, it was a place whose holiness, the holiness of the Mishkan, had the effect it opened the hearts of the people who worship there. Ezahi avoda shabalev. Open your heart through tefillah. God exists everywhere. But not everywhere do we feel the presence of God in the same way. You can't, I don't know, maybe you can. I cannot, personally I know from my own self, I can't compare how I feel halal by myself in my living room to halal in a Beis Knesset. Maybe you do, I don't know, I don't. No, I'm being serious, I don't. It's not the same. You don't feel the same. When everyone's saying Ana Hashem Moshiach and you're saying it by yourself, it's not the same. God exists everywhere, but not everywhere do we feel his presence in the same way. I remember it's not a joke, my Shemona Esrei at the Kota before I left. I was very zocha. I had the undeserved zchus of being in Eretz Yisrael last year two times in such short succession that Rabbi Shechu said, I don't need to tear Kriya a second time. It was mamash wow. It was there an Adar Bet, and then we went back for Pesach. It was a very undeserved, amazing schus. I don't remember which trip. No, I do remember. It was Adar Bet. And I think my Shmona Esther at the Kota, I'm not joking. I'm not saying this because I'm so amazing. I'm not so amazing. Because generally it takes me a fraction of time. My Shmona Esther took me about 18 minutes, I remember. My Shmona Esther never takes me 18 minutes. It doesn't. Sad, maybe it should, it just doesn't. You don't feel the presence of God the same place. You don't feel the same presence of God in every place. There are some places that have a greater concentration, if we could say such a thing. We could, because he dwelt between, Kaviyachal, the Shekhinah dwelt between the two Kruvim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why you couldn't go in there. If the concentration of the Shekhinah, Kaviyachal, infinity was the same in every place, and either you couldn't go anywhere in the world, or you could go everywhere in the world. But the fact that you can't enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim teaches you that there are places, finite places, that have a greater degree of infinity. Maishmana Esrei, the Kotel, is not the same as Maishmana Esrei at home. It's just not. What was that? Oh. Hey, because, oh my gosh, now we're 9:15. I thought I was doing so well. I am doing well, Baruch Shem. I just thought I had more time than I had. God exists everywhere, but not everywhere do we feel the presence of God in the same way. The essence of the sanctuary, this holy place, whether it's the Mishkan, Mikdash, or Beis Knesset, is that it's a place where we set aside all human desires, which is exactly what the Mechaber is speaking about. Tefillah means set aside your human desires. Enter a domain that is wholly set aside for God. It is the concept of Mishkan, not the Beis Hamikdash, because the Mishkan was portable. And that teaches us that you can take along with you, so to speak, a Beis Knesset, literally a place for gathering, collective place for gathering. And the Mishkan opened the way 7 centuries later, after Churban Bayis Rishon, to the synagogue. God is everywhere, so he can be reached anywhere. I find it moving, says Rabbi Sacks, that the frail structure, the Mishkan, described in this week's Sedra, became the inspiration for the institution of Beis Knesset, which has kept the Jewish people alive through almost 2,000 years of dispersion. It is the longest of all journeys through the wilderness. He's amazing. I also want to tie it into Adar, because I was thinking very interestingly, what does Esther Hamalka say? Esther Hamalka Mordechai, it's post Bayis Rishon Churban. Exactly. What is Esther Amalka's? First, she doesn't want to go. Says you have to go. Everyone knows you're going to die. He says, maybe for this reason you're made the queen. I can't quote all the psukim now. Don't have time. Finally, she says, Leich kinos eskola yudim hanim tzayim b'shushan. Go to the Beis Knesset with all the Jews in Shushan. Tzom, metaphor for tzom. Tzom is tefillah. V'tzumu alai. Al tochu v'al tishlu shoshas yamim layila v'yam. Ties in so beautifully with this essay. It was post Churban Bayis Rishon. They found themselves from Bavel. The power was transferred to Paros and Madai. What does she say? Is a collective assembly. We will beseech the Almighty for his rachamim. And maybe the power of coming together as a collective, as a knos, a knisiyah l'shem shamayim, the Beis Knesset, will bring us the merits to overturn the gezerah and save Klal Yisrael. And it worked. We should be zocha. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about those who talk and show, which is a whole other topic. I'm not getting into it. But the point is how much we must appreciate our Batei Knesiot, how much they have contributed to our survival, how they're modeled after the Mishkan, and even well, Har Tzion Shashamim Echa 5:18 Shu Alam Hilchubo. Har Tzion and the Beis Hamikdash lay in ruins. Even today, foxes, Shamirachim Aleinu, prowl there. There's something that is, says in the words of Rabbi Sacks, the institution more than any other that has kept the Jewish people alive almost 2,000 years of dispersion. Leich kenos. Torah is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Leich kenos eskol ha-Yehudim. And all the Yehudim come together in a knisya, in the Beis Knesset, to find the Ribono Shel Olam. There Yeshua can be found. Yes.
I'm thinking of the...
Speak louder for me.
The phrase, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne.
Oh, very, very nice. Beautiful. We're learning a sefer called Bilvavi in our heart. Mishkan, a sanctuary. Evne, you should build. Shir should be Zchus Ali and Hashama from Mirmas Chaim Yitzhak Al Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody, for sharing the Torah with me. I wish everybody a wonderful evening and a Ge'en Chodesh. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.